Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the Yankees off to a very hot 8-2 start. The Mets, well, not quite as hot. But they did finally not just win a game, but win a series on Sunday. To talk about New York baseball, we bring in Dave Lennon from Newsday. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Great, Lori. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Before we get into talking about, you know, the Yankees, the little Mets, before we get into that, there's a big story brewing in Major League Baseball right now that I wanted your perspective as somebody who's been covering the game for a long time now, and that is the story of pitchers breaking down and getting hurt. And while this has been a story coming for years now, this just happens to be, it feels like in the last week or two. The season has just started. We're a week in, and Yuri Perez, the 20-year-old star from the Marlins, you know, injured. Shane Bieber, a former Cy Young Award winner, you know, injured. Those guys are getting Tommy John surgery. Spencer Strider led the majors in strikeouts. We're not sure what's going on with him. We know it's his elbow. Jonathan Loaisiga from the Yankees. That's it. Shut down. Surgery. He'll be out for the season. Garrett Cole, the reigning Cy Young for the Yankees, their best pitcher. And, you know, maybe some good news. He's starting to throw, but he's been, you know, he's been injured. He's on the IL. Kodai Senga, the Mets' best pitcher, on the IL. And so the question for you is this. What's to blame for this, and what should Major League Baseball, if anything, what can they possibly do about it?
Well, I know what the Strider and Bieber news on Saturday kind of triggered a war of words. I think people saw some of the comments from both the Players Association, the union, and Major League Baseball. You know, they kind of traded statements late Saturday night, with the union coming out and saying, you know, we told Major League Baseball that, you know, shortening the pitch clock was going to be a bad idea. You know, the fatigue and the recovery is harmful to pitchers, to which MLB fired back. You know, we've done research through Johns Hopkins University that said the pitch clock isn't harmful, and this is more about, you know, the velocity and the spin rates in the sport that have really, you know, pumped up the injuries. And I think I'm reluctant to blame the pitch clock, only because we just don't have the data for it yet. I mean, the pitch clock is a relatively new phenomenon, as we know. It didn't start at the major leagues until last year. I was in the minor leagues the year before that. So I think it's a little new to really have the information. And before you can make statements about that, I think you do need the research on it to see the examples. As far as the injuries themselves, I think it's a deeper baseball issue. You know, I think Dr. James Andrews, people were bringing up some past quotes from him recently and saying that he was alarmed at the amount of these surgeries, you know, Tommy John surgeries even, that he was performing on kids. You know, high schoolers, college kids, And I think it's just become the emphasis on the sport of the velocity and the max effort and the torque on pitchers' arms for the spin rates involved with this, is that really, you know, the human, the structure of the human arm can't handle it. And with each year, it just escalates more and more. And if you go back and even look at stories, Lori, you'll see headlines from stories that say, you know, epidemic of Tommy John surgery is on the rise. These are headlines that are like from 2012, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is not a new issue. It's been nudging upward with each passing year. And I think that speaks to, you know, the pressure in youth baseball, you know, the pressure in high school, the pressure in college. Kids want to be better. You know, they want a chance at the pros. And so they keep pushing the envelope, you know, with these max effort pitching techniques and velocity, that the strain has been too much. And this has just, you know, been the evolution of the game. And I think that's kind of the blowback you're seeing now.
Yeah, I think back even to when Jacob DeGrom broke into the major leagues and had so much success, but, you know, his rookie year, he was more of a guy who was throwing 95, 96. Then he was a guy who was throwing, winning Cy Youngs and throwing, you know, 97, 98. And suddenly he was a guy who was throwing 100 miles an hour and breaking down. And you just wonder, you know, even in the case, whether it's the Mets and DeGrom, what that career could have looked like if he could have found a way to settle and pitch at 97, 98 and not had to just keep pushing himself to see what his body was physically capable of at its peak.
I mean, remember watching DeGrom in his starts, Lori. You know, he would start out like the first two innings of a game throwing nothing but fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would just pump 98, 99, 100, just blow guys away for two innings because he could.
Right.
And, you know, I think the temptation is when you're a pitcher, especially a young pitcher, and you have these awesome weapons, you know, you don't want to temper it back. You know, the temptation is to just go full bore, you know, and to just blow people away and to just strike people out. And that's kind of the way the game has gone. Instead of pitching in a way where, you know, inducing bad contact, you know, throwing strikes, but, you know, staying on the edges of the plate, you know, staying low in the strike zone, having guys just pound the ball into the ground, getting quick outs. You know, I think that's a strategy of pitching that baseball has got away from. And as a result, you know, you can even watch guys pitch, you know, today with the Yankees, with Louis Heel, you know, these guys are just going max effort with every pitch. And I think that's a big contribution to why you see these guys breaking down.
Yeah, I think back to, you know, mid to late career Bartolo Colon. And part of what mm-hmm. made him such a folk
sure.
hero around these parts was him throwing an 88, 89, maybe 90, peak velocity, 90, 91 mile an hour fastball.
Right.
And he'd throw it 70 or 80%, 80% of the time, but he'd take a little off. He'd put a little more on. The location was pinpoint, all of that. And he transformed from being a hard thrower early in his career to being this crafty pitcher who had a very long career and was fascinating to watch. But that we don't see, I get from the player's perspective that what gets drafted, what gets scouted, what gets drafted,
right.
what gets developed at lower levels is velocity and spin rate and that max effort. And then we can't be surprised when that breaks down. All right. Well, to be continued, and we'll see what impact. I would say that the pitch clock, you know, there's always that conversation between causation and correlation. And the cause of all of this probably is rooted in having players at young ages go for this max effort. But I don't know that, I know the pitch clock makes it a lot more fun for us. I don't, you know, maybe there is a happy medium there somehow because you do wonder if that is a contributing factor, and I guess we won't know until there's more data over time.
I think that's an important point. I mean, I certainly wouldn't rule it out, but I think we are early in the process to just kind of point to that as an issue. It may come to be fact, you know, but I think we may need a couple more seasons to get a better read on that. As far as, you know, top pitchers getting hurt and needing Tommy John surgery, as we know, it's not a new phenomenon.
Yep.
It just happened this past week. It was a particularly bad one for Major League Baseball. And for the sport itself, you know, you hate to see that.
Yeah.
You know, to lose talents like this is really it's a tough thing for the sport, for sure.
So switching specifically to the Yankees, on the positive side, it does sound like Gerrit Cole is starting to make progress. What's the latest you're hearing there?
Yeah, I mean, Cole is supposed to start playing catch tomorrow. So, you know, that's a very basic thing, just getting back into throwing to some degree. You know, this is a situation where he just rested, is supposed to take care of it. It's a nerve inflammation in his elbow. It's not a structural damage situation. So they expect that once he starts to do this, that it should be a gradual progression with the hope he can be back. I think right now they're kind of circling, you know, the first week of June
mm-hmm.
as a good ballpark time for him to come back. So that's still a little ways away, obviously. And I think right now, you know, the Yankees would be thrilled if it just becomes a straight line.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can just progress and get back into the rotation at that point. You know, I think they're a long way from being out of the woods. You know, I think when you have an elbow issue, and even though it seems like it's one that he can bounce back from here, you don't know for sure until he starts pitching again. And we're still going to be, you know, probably a couple weeks away from him doing that.
Yeah, no one wants to hear the S word, setback, which
it
seems like we hear. So big picture start to the season here. Yankees are 8-2, have won all three series. Let's start off with what's been the best part of this start from, you know, if you are trying to encourage Yankee fans who have an eye on the prize for this team to be a contender for the World Series in it at the end, what are the best things you're seeing so far 10 games in?
Well, I think this is a much different team than we've seen in a couple of years past, certainly from last year's. And I think it's been a big, you know, Juan Soto influence in
yep.
that way. You know, you're seeing a lineup that is really grinding up and spitting out starting pitchers. And I think that's been a big key. Not that they've had a ton of success against them necessarily, but they've really kind of grinded them out and got them out of games and kind of beat up the other team's bullpens after that. And it's really been top to bottom in the lineup. You know, you've seen, you know, Gleyber Torres really hasn't had a lot to show hitting in the leadoff spot, but he's had a lot of long at-bats, you know, and he's kind of done his part in that way and kind of helping wear guys down. Same with Soto. I mean, Soto had a, you know, ridiculously hot weekend in Houston, where he was at the center of just about everything the Yankees were doing, whether it was walks, whether it was driving in runs, whether it was making defensive plays. You know, the number two spot has been perfect for him. The Yankees are winning games without huge contributions from Judge early on.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also seen Giancarlo Stanton, you know, he just had a huge weekend.
Grand
for
slam.
Them with a big
yep,
grand slam.
Today.
Right,
mm-hmm.
today. So, you know, they're getting contributions from different spots in the lineup. And of course, I have to mention Anthony Volpe,
yeah.
who really just looks like he's improved by leaps and bounds since last year. And I think there's a couple reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
For one, he's where he's supposed to be. He's batting lower in a lineup that now is at full strength with all its stars and offensive players in place. So he doesn't have to bat leadoff. He doesn't have to have the Yankees lean on him to be an offensive player. He can just go and do what he does, you know, hit line drives, go to the opposite field, work counts. And I think that's what you're seeing from him. This is the player he was supposed to be, you know. So I think now that he's settled in, of course, a year experience helps. But anybody who's watched this team has really seen a totally different Anthony Volpe. And that's in a very good way. And I think that's going to be a huge plus for this team moving forward.
Yeah, you talk about moving him down, Volpe, in the lineup, and agree, this lineup just feels, you know, we always talk about lengthening a lineup. It feels long, you know, like it has that length to it. And now that we're talking about putting him further down in the order, I'll just add some pressure here and say,
sure.
Anthony Volpe, from what I'm seeing, he just looks like he has star written on him. What kind of player do you think he can be?
Well, I mean, this is the guy that, you know, we thought the Yankees were promoting at the start of last season. You know, that's what he was billed as. You know, there was a reason why he was drawing comparisons to Derek Jeter. And now I think you're seeing more of that because he's doing more Jeter-type things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he already has a gold glove to his credit from last year. And I think anybody that watched the game today, he had three more hits today. He had two stolen bases, which set up another insurance run for the Yankees. And that's the kind of player he is. I mean, this is a guy, he's hitting .420 now. I know it's early. It's the first 10 games in. He's got an OPS over one, you know, over 1,000. So I think this is a guy that we saw some of the power for him last year, but you don't need the 20-plus home runs here. You're wanting, this is a guy who can hit 300. You know, he can be an on-base guy. He can be a stolen base guy. He's already proven himself to be a very good defender. So, you know, listen, I think you're talking about he's on the verge of this continues, you know, to really being, I think, to being one of the elite players in the sport if he continues on the track from what we've seen of him so far.
Talking to Dave Lennon about the Yankees, and Dave, you mentioned Luis Gil before and throwing that max velocity and that stuff.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So we've talked a lot about the positives. Luis Gil, certainly the stuff looks really good early on. You know, what we're seeing from him is encouraging. But the pitch count, you know, all it takes is an inefficient inning or two, and the pitch count gets up there. He gets pulled after 4 1/3 innings. And how worried are you about this Yankees bullpen and their, you know, Loaiza now out for the season, their ability to withstand a starting rotation that just doesn't seem like it's going to give much length?
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to be more worried about the starting rotation at the start of the season here, but really they've been pretty serviceable. You know, I think they've done a pretty decent job. You know, Marcus Stroman has been great mm-hmm. out of the gate for yep. them in his first two starts. Carlos Rodon, I think, has pitched pretty well. You know, I think there's some room for improvement there, but he's not the guy that we saw last year. His velocity's way up. You know, he's pitched deeper into games here, and he's shown signs of being the type of pitcher the Yankees thought they were signing. And Clark Schmidt, you know, has shown great stuff, although he's kind of flamed out earlier than they would have liked. And, you know, it's early in the season right now, Lori, so the not getting the length out of these guys isn't terribly surprising. But you're right, the bullpen is a major concern. They've got a ton of work in already because of the lack of length from the rotation, and taking out Loaiza from this is a pretty big loss. You know, they're trying to make do. They're trying to make do back there with a lot of retreads and kind of scrap heap guys. And you know, so far, you know, they've managed to piece some of it together, but it hasn't been pretty. And I wonder, as this season goes on, as the Yankees always do, they'll look for bullpen help later on, but I'm kind of worried about the workload that this group is getting so far and how much they can kind of withstand that going forward.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Cole comes back and later in the season. We know there will be some sort of innings limit on Luis Gil, and at some point is the answer to that to move him into the bullpen, and does that become something that helps there? We'll find out. Before we switch to the Mets, one last one here from the Yankee game today. Yankee fans were chanting their displeasure with umpire Angel Hernandez.
right.
A common thing for baseball fans. And so can you give us an impartial analysis as opposed to fans who are annoyed with umpires? But how bad is Angel Hernandez?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say he's bad. I think where he runs into problems is where he just kind of inserts himself too much into the game. And I think people saw that today with a couple instances. You know, I think you saw that kind of, you know, that quick pitch kind of step off the rubber thing that happened to Gleyber Torres when he got punched out in the first inning.
It was a quick pitch, but also, you know, if you're watching it with the replay at home on TV, it also looked like a ball. Anyway, I mean, it's just a bad call.
Yeah, yes, it wasn't a strike. That's true. I agree with you there. And I think Torres did get burned again later with another high strike that he got punched out on, too. So he had a rough go with Angel Hernandez doing that. Then you saw another time where he got on Luis Gil for not engaging the hitter, you know, where you saw him pointing to his eyes, and we're all like, what is he talking about? You know,
especially with a young pitcher, are we really going to do that? Is that, you know, show him up? What are you doing?
I don't even remember seeing that kind of exchange between an umpire and a pitcher in all the games that I watched. So, and there were times I think it almost seemed a little personal, the back and forth he had going on with Heel there, which I don't think, obviously, that's not right. You know, that's a throwback from a different time of umpiring. You know, it has to be a lot more objective than that. But, you know, like I said, Angel Hernandez has to put his imprint on the game. I think at a very base level, you know, I think he has a reputation for being a good umpire as far as just calling the games. But I think there's too much other stuff that goes along with it that takes on a circus quality to it. And I think that's where he gets the bad rep from.
Talk to Dave Lennon from Newsday, and turning to the Mets, one recent development there in terms of some of the pitching depth that they've lost is that they signed Julio Teheran, longtime Braves pitcher who, you know, bounced around a little bit and now is going to be making a start for them. What can Mets fans expect at this point? He's not ancient. I think he's 33. What would you expect out of Julio Teheran? What would be successful for the Mets?
Oh, I mean, he pitched well in spring training in Orioles camp. I think he had about a 3.5 ERA, you know, for what that's worth in the Grapefruit League. So, and he's a competent veteran pitcher. You know, it's not like you're just calling up somebody and throwing him to the wolves and see what happens. So I think he's a guy that can go out there and do a decent job for them. You know, what's a decent job? I think even a quality start would be a lot to ask for, going as far as six innings, you know, and three runs. But, you know, I think from where he's coming from in spring training and from where he was in limbo and waiting to get signed by a team after he got let go from the Orioles, I think he's competent. You know, for people to think he's going to go out there and throw some kind of gem for them, I think that's too much to ask. I mean, what the Mets basically need right now is starter innings. You know, they're at such a base level that they just need somebody to go out there and pitch five innings for them. And if they can get that and not be out of the game by that point, that would be fine. And I think Teheran is, you know, capable of doing that.
Was the Mets off to a 3-6 start to start the season? You know, if you're looking for positives for Mets fans from today, Francisco Lindor starts the season 1-31. That's about as, you know, bad a slump for him as you can get. And on Sunday, a double, a home run, drives in a couple of runs, was a difference maker in the game. Do you expect that this is one of those, like, that's all it takes, and from here on he turns back into Francisco Lindor?
Well, turning back into Francisco Lindor, first off, what Francisco Lindor is a very streaky player. You know, we've certainly witnessed that from him with the Mets. But if you look back over his career, he's had long stretches, 0-22, 0-26, 0-23, that this stuff happens to him. And I think, you know, you mentioned 1-31. I think he was in an 0-for-24 stretch at one point during this. So yeah, things were bad. And not only that, he's a notorious slow starter that we've also seen from him. So that's the downside. The plus side, Lori, is that we found with Lindor is when he has a day like today, that can flick a switch for him. And he can go a week or 2 weeks and just really kind of get hot and start to help, you know, to kind of carry the team at that point. You know, the fact that he's running headlong into the Braves in Atlanta, you know, is going to be like maybe running into a wall. But I think we found with Lindor, who is an extremely talented player, obviously, that when he has a day like this coming off the ice cold stretch he was on, usually means that he's going to get on track for a little while after this.
For Mets fans that want to look ahead with this team, another positive development, Brett Beatty. You talked about Anthony Volpe looking like a different player, looking like the player we expected him to be when he was in the minor leagues, but wasn't really last season. Anthony Volpe was even, you know, struggled even more. I mean, Brett Beatty struggled even more than Anthony Volpe last season. But from what we've seen so far this year, both offensively and defensively, how different does he look to you?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to mention that, Lori, when you were going to talk. You know, I know Mets fans are looking for things to grab onto right now, certainly kind of like a drowning person is reaching for like a life preserver bobbing around. But, you know, I think two of the biggest questions for them, in Beatty and Alvarez,
yep,
you know, have been great for the team, you know, mm-hmm, have been better than you could have hoped for right now. So, you know, I think that's a positive, not only to see that from those guys, but at least to know that the other guys that are off to slow starts, you know, the quote unquote regulars on this team, the Lindors, the Nimmos, even Pete, who has a couple home runs, but not hitting particularly well at this point, obviously, and McNeil, you know, those guys you figure are going to hit like they're supposed to. But if you can get Beatty and Alvarez starting to play at this level like you hope they would, Alvarez, you know, bouncing back from a pretty good rookie year, obviously, Beatty the opposite of that. But I think that's a really promising sign. I mean, for Beatty especially, Lori, because we saw what happened last year when his confidence kind of went down the drain. You know, his performance and pretty much his season went along with it. Now that he's off to a strong start and he's getting some big hits early, I think that's going to be – he's the kind of guy, I think, that can kind of ride that a little bit. And that's going to kind of plant a seed with him that thinks, hey, you know what? You know, I can kind of do this. You know, last year is over. You know, I can hit up here in the major leagues. I can play defense, you know, a couple defensive miscues notwithstanding. But I think he can convince himself mentally going forward that he can be the third baseman for this team. And I like I said, it's only been a week and a half into the season. But I think that was necessary to see from Beatty this early for sure.
And one other positive development, pitching on Sunday, Sean Manaea got the win, 5 innings, and just gave up the 1 earned run. And in 2 starts, he has looked like a find. It's only 2 starts, but how encouraged should Mets fans be that maybe this is the version of Sean Manaea that can be a number 2, number 3 starter you can really count on?
Well, I mean, you cast a wide net and you pull in the Severinos and Hausers, yep, and the Manaeas of the world. Odds are you're going to hit on one of them, right? So
yep,
maybe that's what's happening with Manaea right now. And I've liked what I've seen from him so far. Honestly, I didn't get to see him today, just being at the Yankees game, but
right,
I did watch him in his first start, and that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's a guy that can be in command of a game. He knows what he's doing out there. And I think what they needed to see from him is that he had that ability to do that. And now we've seen that out of the first 2 starts. And this guy, I think, you know, health permitting, you know, can be one of those blocks moving forward. You know, Severino showed some improvement. You know, he couldn't be much worse than he was his first time out. So they'll take what they could get from him the second time around. But, you know, the rotation is a work in progress. And I think you're going to see some of the younger guys down in the minors, the Christian Scotts of the world, the Mike Vassals, You know, they're going to wind up coming up here and making an impact. They already have Budo up here. So, you know, it's going to be a very kind of influx situation with the rotation. So I think that's going to be something. To date, you know, the Mets have pitched pretty well.
Yeah, they have.
You know, I mean, they've stayed in games. You know, the offense has been the thing that's been dragging them down. But I think this series win this weekend against the Reds was pretty big. I mean, 3 days ago we thought the season was over, right?
Yeah.
But it's at 3-6 and a series win. You know, let's see what happens in Atlanta. But at least, you know, people can kind of you know, come out from under the desk and the bed right now and think they might be able to watch a baseball season after all and flush it.
Yeah, they, as you say, it hasn't actually been the pitching. It's been more of the lineup, and the Mets have scored so far the fewest runs in the National League. And one bat they're hoping for, J.D. Martinez, who's in the minor leagues getting ready, having sort of his spring training to get ready for the season. And a lot of Mets fans hoping he would have been back as early as today, Sunday, or for this Braves series. And now we hear that he's taking a couple of days off because he's very achy from trying to push it and get going. How concerned should Mets fans be that here we are and, you know, he's just getting ready to be a DH and we're already talking about taking a couple of days off, he's achy?
Well, I mean, I think everybody forgot that J.D. Martinez didn't have a spring training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they signed him at the end. You know, spring training was ending. You know, he was working out,
yep.
You know, getting swings in, taking batting practice and stuff, but he wasn't getting game reps, and he's not a young guy either, you know?
Right.
I know he's just a DH. You don't have to worry about getting him reps in the field, obviously, but this was not going to be a case where he was going to, you know, have a couple rounds of batting practice and be ready to come up to the major leagues and face major league pitching. That wasn't going to happen. As much as the Mets would have liked that to happen, he wasn't going to come up before he was ready either. So this is a case where, you know, Martinez was probably like, listen, I'm going to go to the minor leagues. You know, that's fine, but I'm going to need some at-bats, and I'll let you guys know when I'm ready. So
yeah.
this isn't a case of the Mets looking at a younger player or a rehabbing player and making the determination when he's ready. Martinez is going to tell the Mets when he thinks he can contribute at the major league level. And right now, I just think you're feeling the aches and pains of an older guy that is getting back into the swing, literally, of playing regular baseball again. So that's not surprising. So I'm not surprised to hear it's been delayed this much. It really hasn't been delayed this much for a guy that didn't have any spring training. So he's not really kind of riding in to save the day quite yet. As badly as the Mets could use him, you know, until he feels like he's ready, and it looks like that's going to be, it's not going to be for the Atlanta series, you know, it's going to be another week or so at least before he joins the club.
Yeah, the way I've been thinking about it is if you're in your late 30s and you go to the driving range when you haven't been playing golf all season for the first time,
I mean,
I know
that feeling. I know that feeling well. You got the obliques, the back of the shoulders,
yeah.
and everything. So, right, that's exactly it. He's a human being like everybody else, you know. Just because he's one of the great DHs around doesn't mean he's immune to that stuff.
All right, so. Dave Lennon from Newsday. You should follow him online. You should follow him in Newsday. Dave, appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
Always a pleasure, Lori. Have a great show.
All right. Quick break. We'll be right back.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.